on the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. I am so excited about this episode. I have Lou Taylor joining me, and she is such a badass. She is a business manager. She's the CEO and the founder of TriStar Sports Entertainment Group. She business manages all of the best acts from Florida Georgia Line, Britney Spears, Gwen Stefani, Megan Trainor, A Thousand Horses, my hubby, what? She does everyone, and she is so incredible. She does it with style. She does it with a huge faith, and she takes no nonsense from anyone. This is a woman who gets it done. She inspires me beyond no end, and she looks fabulous doing it. So you guys, please welcome Lou Taylor. And also, if you want to watch this podcast, go to my website, carolinehobby.com, and click on watch, and it will take you to my YouTube page where you can see the whole podcast on video. So here is Lou Taylor.
You just flew in from New York last night?
Yep, planes, trains, and automobiles. You know how it goes.
What were you doing in New York?
Clive Davis was releasing his film, the soundtrack of my life, at the Tribeca Film Festival. So he kicked off Tribeca. It was amazing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Star-studded, I'm sure.
Yeah. And after the film, they had live performances by Barry Manilow, Aretha Franklin, which was just insane to look at her at where she's at her age, and still open her mouth and put you to the floor. Like, good music always wins. That's
always.
What I say. Always wins.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to ask you a few little rapid-fire questions.
Okay, go for it.
This one's going to be hard because you've accomplished and done so much. But what's left on the bucket list?
Oh, what's left on the bucket list? Well, I don't know that. I think when you are a driving CEO, the bucket list doesn't have a bottom, because new talent's always coming up, new things are always happening, and every time that does, you know, as a CFO, we're looking at how we're going to participate in it. So I think personal bucket list things, like, I would like to have 2 weeks solid off for me to go skiing and not be interrupted.
Snow skiing?
Yeah.
You love to snow ski?
Totally grew up skiing. I love to snow ski.
Snow skiing is dangerous.
No, fabulous. I've been skiing since I was a little tyke. So 2 weeks on the sled, and I'm gangster skier.
What do you mean?
So that's like... First chair up in the morning, you race to get down like at 3:30, because the chairs usually stop running around 4 o'clock. So you race to get down on the slope so you can get all the way up the mountain and take your time to come down.
Do you go super fast and do the moguls and all the double blacks?
Well, at 51, Durful. I don't really do that anymore. My husband says that I'm steady and pretty. So that's steady, pretty form. Just stay, you know, it's my life. Stay the course.
I love
Sometimes
that.
It's ugly, like when you hit the moguls, but stay pretty, stay the course.
So. That's kind of a metaphor for your career, huh?
Totally. Pretty much.
Which we had talked about, too, earlier walking in, because you walked in looking like a dream with your spike, how do you say, Louboutins?
Louboutins.
Louboutins, yeah. On. You are one of those women that I feel like you dress the part. Like, you are the part and you dress the part. How important is putting out there the full image all the time for you?
Well, you know, I think what happens sometimes when you're involved in the entertainment business, there's this misconception that hip sometimes is sloppy, and I just want people to be professional. It's the same in my office, and it says right in our dress code, don't come to work looking like you're going grocery shopping on a Saturday with 9 kids. Like, that's the bottom line. I want you dressed for success. We're an extension of clients. So you're a client. If you and Michael walk in and you want to have a meeting, I think even though you say, oh, you've got great technical competencies, and you come in and everybody looks like a hot mess or a slob, it's like, I just don't think it represents well. Listen, our technical expertise has to back up the appearance, but both have to exist.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that P. Diddy always says that too, dress the part. Like, you have to. You have
totally.
To. Have to.
One of the girls who works for me yesterday, so, you know, I just did a 24-hour turnaround. I did Nashville, Vegas for a meeting, did the meeting, got on a flight, flew to New York, got up the next morning, had a 9 o'clock meeting. And so when I landed in Nashville yesterday, I had a meeting with Miss Reba as soon as I walked in the door.
How do you have all this energy?
I don't know. It's insanity. But I was walking into a meeting. So I got dressed before I left New York because I knew there was no downtime in between. And so one of the girls who works for me, she goes, I can't believe you just got off a plane, that you're so put together. Every time I'm on a plane, I'm a mess. And I can't remember who told me this, but when I was a young lady, somebody once said to me, never get on a plane looking a wreck because you never know who you're going to be sitting next to.
True that.
And I've never ever forgotten that. And I'm like, actually, one of my partners that I was traveling with yesterday, she goes, I'm wearing my hot pink Nikes and my sweats. And I'm like, it's just not who I am.
I love that about you.
Yeah.
So what is your biggest pet peeve?
People who just want a job.
Oh, explain.
Yeah. So people who just want a job for me, I mean, we're in the sports and entertainment business, but we're in a very definitive role. We're accountants, finance people, accountants, service people. So we know what our role is. But if you don't love the business and understand the bigger picture in serving people, you're going to hate it, because as a technician, you're doing the financials, corporations, building businesses, all of that's exciting. But then there's still the element of doing all of the personal work, because we do the personal bills, we take care of domestic staff. So honestly, that's why I feel like women sometimes make better business managers, because we're natural born nurturers. So it doesn't bother us to excel as a badass technician and still be in a place where we reason things out of compassion and nurturing. Does that make sense?
You cover both ends of the spectrum.
Like, yeah. A manager is not going to call you and go, Caroline, what do we need to do about your puppies while you and Michael are on the road? But we do touch that. Like, that's part of our responsibility.
And you have such a personal relationship with all of your clients. That's something I've noticed being with you guys for, I guess it's been about 2 years now, maybe.
A little bit longer, probably.
You, like, know everyone's birthday. You know everything going on in people's life. Like, I feel like you really do nurture these clients like your family.
Yeah, I think it's important that if you're going, whatever you're going to do, you're going to do it beyond well. And, you know, my husband has a saying about me, and don't misunderstand his heart in this, because he doesn't mean I'm not satisfied with him, because I am, but he's like, babe, you're never satisfied. And I think that's a very true statement. It's an element of constantly scaling and flexing. And it's like, if you pay me, I should know your birthday, because to me, that's excellence. I'm celebrating you. I'm celebrating the fact that you trust me to handle your personal finances. I mean, really, other than a doctor, we're so intimate. It is an intimate relationship. And, you know, my staff will probably tell you the same thing. It's that balance of, I want to inspire them, but I'm not ever content with where we are. If we can do things differently, then we're going to do it.
I love that.
And I want to be able to scale, and that's why it's in our mission statement.
What is your mission statement?
Well, we have several. The mission statement is simple: to be the world's best business management firm.
And it's, you never are changed. Doing that.
It's never changed.
Just a little moment. Billboard has, like, given you accolades of the top 25 business managers or 100 best women in the entertainment industry, as well as, like, all of these huge publications have honored you as one of the best business managers. So you're doing your statement.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that statement, and this gets hard, I'm not just saying it because it seems like the politically correct thing to do, but I tell my staff all the time, it might be my face, but it's their work. And so collectively, let me tell you what's not my pet peeve, but what floats my boat. Hiring technical geniuses that are drivers, that they see an issue or they just see a process improvement and they drive to do it. There is nothing that gets me off more for one of my staff to write me and go, this is how this is happening, A, B, and C. This is how I think we should fix it, A, B, and C. Do I have your approval? Go for it. Like, there's nothing more exciting to me than having staff that does that.
See, that shows confidence in you, too, because I feel like some people who run big companies want to be the end-all, be-all, top dog, and they have a hard time with other people having power and excelling. Do you ever see that? But to me, like you want people to succeed and crush it.
Yeah. It for me, the hard thing is when you're in a corporation and you're sitting in a cube, there are so many levels of reporting and you're not exposed. Because by the time something gets to the CEO, let's say at HCA, it's probably gone through and touched 10, 15 different people. So there's a lot of autonomy in the work process, but there's also a lot of shelter. In business management, there is no shelter because it's the client, the accounting manager, the business manager, and me. So you're fully exposed all the time. If something doesn't go right and it impacts a client, there's an immediate awareness of that. And people have a hard time adjusting to that because, you know, human nature is self-preservation. Nobody wants to be in a position where they're not doing something right. So I do feel like people struggle sometimes in business management, understanding that you're fully exposed and that you're going to have to step out and take chances at times on things that might be counterintuitive, you know?
So you have to trust your gut.
Trust your gut. And if they're... I used to consider it a failure if I had to have turnover.
Okay.
And there's a great book written by a man who did lots of research work called Jim Collins. And so most college students have heard of Good to Great. It was a business book that broke down analytics of companies that outperformed the S&P 500, right? And so it really came down to a list of attributes. It really didn't come down to this is how they built processes, this is how they did their financing. It all came down to the personal attributes of the people performing the job.
What are they?
Well, one of them was, you know, for a CEO, it was really empowering people to make decisions.
That's crucial.
Crucial. Mm-hmm. And then the other was get the right people on the bus doing the right jobs.
Right.
Get the wrong ones off.
Yep.
Because sometimes you can have the right person, but they're doing the wrong job. And that is one thing at TriStar that we work really hard to do. Like, you may come in for a role. Like, touring and business management's very different, even though they're peers.
Okay.
Touring's day-to-day. The show's rolling, there's day-to-day needs, issues. Every day something's going on, where business management is more planned. Pay the bills on the 1st and the 15th, reconcile your transactions. So it's methodical. So this technician who works in touring has to be able to deal with crazy. So somebody will interview and go, I want crazy, right?
They love the wild.
They love the wild, but then they think they want it. And then they get in and they realize, oh shit, she wasn't lying. I actually meant wild. And they're like, I want to go to business management. So anyway.
Do you let people evolve?
Totally. And so that's, if you're the right person, I will move you. If you're the right person, I don't have a job for you yet, but you're bringing value add, I'll find one.
That's awesome. You can spot the right people.
Totally. If you're the wrong person, I will get you off, and now I'm at the place where I don't make apologies for turnover.
How do you know if they're right or wrong? What stands out to know that in staff?
Well, is there retention in things you've been trained on? So you train, you allow them to perform, you allow them to succeed. So if there's not retention and you're having to constantly go back, then that's an issue because then you're not lifting the load. Somebody else is on the bus is carrying your load. People who are negative are cancer in any situation.
Amen.
So if you are a complaining, nagging, negative, gossiping, indecisive person, I will just walk you out. And
yes,
I don't
Lou.
Even make an excuse for it
no.
anymore. I just don't put up with it.
It's like Life's a disease.
I tell them, I go, we're not in the ER trauma room. We're in the entertainment business. You get to come to a cool place to work. You get to serve people who are impacting the community. We're not saving lives here. Be positive. If you see something that's not right, fix it. You're not a victim. But if you're gonna bitch and complain,
ain't got
deuces.
Time for that.
You can go in. I don't care. Peace.
I love that. And honestly, you've created such an environment and a culture in your office and in TriStar in general because you walk in those doors. It's bright, it's white, it feels amazing. Like you have like coffee, candy, everyone's happy. I never want to leave my business manager's office, which is crazy because
most people don't want to come in.
Yes.
Yeah. They're afraid.
It's usually scary. It's like going to the dentist most of the time, but with you guys, it's like heaven.
Yeah.
And you have quotes of empowerment all over the walls. It literally is the most uplifting place. And you hire a lot of women.
Yeah, that goes back to my, you know, my thing that I think women make better business managers.
I kind of do, too. They're so detail-oriented and the nurturing aspect.
Totally. Most of the men who work for me love the entertainment business. And then their contribution winds up being in a siloed position of excellence. You know, my royalties director is amazing. Brett, who services you guys, he's amazing because he loves the business and he eats, breathes, and sleeps how to constantly be a better, you know, technician. I have a Frenchman who, you know, wants to build a soccer practice or football, as he tells me, because that's the proper way. You know, I have another one who would like me to try to build a golfing practice because he loves golf. And so when I have people who are excellent at their job and they want to help, or they want me to help them build a discipline within the practice, I love that. It's like they're young men who are going to support their families and they love the business. And I will say this, if you don't love the business, you won't get it. It's like the Clive Davis thing. I didn't care that the movie was 3 hours, because as a young lady, when I first started in business management, I didn't even know what business management was. And I went and I picked up Clive's book. I wish I'd have brought it. But
what
it's
a full circle experience.
Totally.
To be not, because you know him and y'all like, yep.
It's crazy. So talk about Brett, right? I'm like his age as a young lady first starting, and then full circle, or representing Mary J. Blige. And then you're all of a sudden representing her 25 years later. But Clive's whole thing is, when you look at the history of his life, it was 3 hours of stories and success. And one of the things Clive said, and they had footage of it, he said every day, or let I take this back, every point in his life when the charts dropped, he would take the top 20 records and he would put them in his satchel, because he was taking physical records for this young generation, doesn't know what that is. Like when you look music up and it says, you know, it started with record, cassette tape, you know, whatever, and even going back to 8-track tapes.
Yeah.
But he took the top 20 records that were on the chart, and he would listen to them over and over again to see what the changes were, what were...
He studied.
And had footage of him with this satchel that looked like 900 years old.
To see what was happening in current music.
Yeah, and it's the same. I want people who have that same passion as a technician and a developer of business. I want them to study it or eat, breathe, and sleep it. I got to tell you this funny story. I'm going to digress for a second. So one of my controllers came in and said to my director of business management, we made a big mistake this year.
Sure, you love those words.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shoot. And he goes, we made a horrible mistake. Basically. And she's like, what? He goes, we forgot to issue a 1099. So one of our female clients, right? And she's like, how did we miss that? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, but so-and-so paid $86,000 to this guy, Christian Loboden. And we didn't issue him a 1099. And literally, my director of business management
fell out the frame.
If she had had depends, I think she'd have just taken the freedom to pee her pants right there. She was losing her lid. And
of course,
she's
the
like,
guy came in and said that.
Of course, the guy came in and said that. And I was like, God bless your wife, right? And she's like, I'm telling you, you couldn't have scripted it. Just at that point, one of the girls in the office went walking by, and she had on a pair of Christian Louboutin boots. And literally, Peggy called her in. She goes, I'd like you to introduce Brian to Christian Louboutin. I thought that was the greatest story ever. But anyway, it goes back to loving the business, loving the creativity of it, loving the fun of it. And as a technician, if you don't love the business and you don't enjoy it, you're going to hate it, because we have a tough job. A debit's a debit, a credit's a credit, period. We have clients with short-term accumulation phases. Not everybody is a Mary J. or a Steven or a Carlos Santana, whatever.
Florida Georgia Line.
You have a period of time where you get to experience unusual wealth as the fruit of your craft. And if we don't love what we're doing, it's going to show in our performance and how we serve, how we think. Are we creative? Are we thinking about the next move for them? Are we thinking about ancillary revenue streams? And it's like, I took away from Clive's movie, it didn't even seem like 3 hours to me, that what you saw was a man who was a lawyer, who he literally would eat, breathe, and sleep his craft, and I do the same thing.
That's why he's the best, and that's why you're the best.
Well, I don't know if I'm the best.
No, you are the best.
I have some formidable peers, but, you know, it might just be gumballs to somebody else, but those gumballs mean a lot to me.
I love that.
Simple.
I love that. And also, you are killing it as a woman in a very male-dominated industry, too. What is it like being in the boys' club?
Oh, my gosh. I can tell you, honestly, I don't really think about it that way. I feel like if I give any intention to anything other than what I'm doing, then I would be compromising my success.
So you just have blinders on.
Blinders
not
on.
Not looking right, not looking left.
I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care how they do it.
And you don't care if people get mad at you either, if you're doing the right thing.
It's so weird to me. Somebody just said to me, they sent me an email. And somebody said, I asked around town, meaning here, not Los Angeles, you know, where our other office is. They said, I asked around town, and consistently people said you were a disruptor. And I was like, well, what does that mean? What am I, accounting to counting, like, what am I disrupting? And so is it that I don't settle? Yeah. Do I expect a lot? You can ask that little girl over there what I expect. I expect a lot, but I expect, and I know people say this all the time, I expect nothing less out of anybody else than what I give at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means.
Well, and also, though, I think, why do women get this reputation, if you're a badass at what you do, why do women get this reputation of where a man can be a total asshole, but people don't care? Because he's,
I don't know. I haven't figured out that part, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could say to somebody, I've figured it out and this is what it's like, but I really haven't figured, you know, it's the old adage, why is a woman a bitch and a man good at his job? Like, I'm not bitching.
Yeah.
Just the way it is, period.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I wish I could tell you. I don't have it figured out.
Well, okay. So, also, you have, your faith is very strong.
Yep.
Tell me how your faith plays into all of this. And how did you get into business management?
So, let's see. That's an interesting question. I happened into business management randomly. Had no idea what it was. Actually, in Florida, of all places. But at the time I went into business management, Florida was a music mecca. You know, you had the Miami Sound Machine. You had Exposé, which was a hugely popular pop group. And literally, I was one of the only people who knew how to use computers in a firm that represented Andre Harrell, Uptown Records.
They also had a sports practice.
So that's kind of how TriStar wound up being a multiple discipline firm, because
I didn't
know anything different. I just recreated what I experienced. So I was one of the only folks that knew how to use a computer, and I got hired, and all of a sudden I was exposed to this world of pop culture. As I said, Mary J. Blige was in the studio doing What's the 411 at the time. She had been signed by Andre Harrell at Uptown Records. Heavy D and the Boys, Jodeci, all of these incredible groups. It was Ace of Base, who was not on Uptown Records, but another client, which was like really one of the first rap groups ever, you know. MC Search and Pete Nice. And I just loved it. I mean, it's like you go from the staleness of accounting to doing financial statements. And I did the tour accounting. And I did that stuff by hand. So like today when people complain about workload, I'm like, try doing that by hand and then complain to me.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. And actually tying that into faith, I worked for some folks that I didn't really love,
okay.
You know, just really what I felt weren't, some of them were not honest, and it just was not going to be a place where I could stay. But I knew nothing, knew nobody, you know, as a young lady. And it's like, how do you leave there and go, hey, I'm just going to start my business?
I mean,
you talk about insanity.
Did you start a business after that?
Well, I went home and I told my husband, I'm like, babe, I can do anything for, I said 3 years. Because I needed to learn the players. And I didn't have enough. I knew how to do accounting, and I just learned tour. I had no tax experience, and I didn't know anything. I didn't know the difference between a, you know, performance royalty and a mechanical royalty. So anyway, going back to that, I stayed for about 2.5 years to learn everything, and then finally got to the place where I would leave.
And then you said, in your 20s, you said, I'm going to go start my own.
Yeah.
And you did it.
I did.
Holy cow, Lou. You, like, are so fearless.
No, and it's you, not.
But,
it's,
you, but you don't, you're not scared.
Well, you don't feel fearless at the time. you don't know. I didn't know any better. I was just like, this is it. Every entrepreneurial CEO has an element of crazy. And I definitely have that. And I walked out, so going back to faith, I feel like at very pivotal times in my career, God's given me something that's like knowledge that I was able to build
like
on.
Like he actually gives you
signs,
voices?
Yeah,
what is it?
Sometimes it's both, but it's a thought process of when I left, I needed to be able to pay my bills, right? Because, you know, you're poor at that time. I think I was making like $17,000 a year. And so I figured out very quickly when I was making my move that if I went out and signed small corporate businesses, right, because it's steady business, going back to the plan business, I could pay my bills. And then I would go out and sell during the day. I'd do the work at night until I had enough cash resources to hire who was my partner in South Florida at the time, who had come out of Jack Nicholson. She had served Jack Nicholson Golden Bear. So she had worldwide tax experience. Hire her out. And then as that fed the need for operating capital, I would then work the entertainment relationship. So, you know, that's Mary J's, it's 25 years now. So 22 of those on my own. So what happened, the real catalyst for me was that when I left, 90 days later, I had enough corporate business to bring out.
Of course you did.
Yeah. So my partner came out. And at that time, when both of us left, one of the brothers, who was such an upstanding man in this firm, said, I will give you a couple of the clients if you continue to pay me basically on this book of business. So there were three artists that, or I'm sorry, two artists and one athlete. And one of those athletes had an enormous contract, and that just changed the trajectory of the firm. So literally within 120 days, it was myself, my partner, two bookkeepers, and we took down Office Space. And then the rest is history. In 2000,
you just kept growing it ever
just
since.
Kept growing it. So we moved here in 2002. I opened the office in Nashville in 2003, the summer of 2003. I opened the LA office in 2008, and now we're 80 staff, two locations, and 84, some around 84 clients.
Tell me some of your awesome clients.
Well, they're all favorites. I love them all. I love the ones that are the babies that are just getting started, that have immense talent.
Let's talk about some of these superstars, though.
Okay. So some of the superstars. I have Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, which was a huge vanity.
Amazing.
Amazing man. Probably one of the most genuine humans you will ever meet. Mary Jane Blige, who I've mentioned. Britney Spears, Jennifer Lopez, Gwen Stefani.
Megan
Trainor, who is, I will go out on a limb and say Megan is probably somebody who has blown me away the most when it comes to music. And I mean that in a 360 manner. People forget how young she is, but she is like a savant. She is, I mean, Megan really is like a musical genius. Her ability to hear, her ability to write, to play. And Megan's one of those people from the beginning, she will tell you that she was writing songs, you know, for her friends in school, that it was just part of who she is and how her dad nurtured that gift in her. And I mean, she's just such a compelling young lady. Of course, I have Florida Georgia Line, and I respect Tyler and Brian so much. When you talk about badasses, again, people who have come in and done things because, not because they were trying to change the system or change the marketplace. It's they just did them. And mm-hmm. I'm always like, respect people who do them.
Yes, you're authentic.
Do you. It's like, don't do somebody else. Justin Tranter, who has I hate elaborating on any one of them because they're all so amazing and in a different right, but Justin Tranter, who came out of Semi-Precious Weapons, and now literally Billboard just named him number 8 of 25 top writers in the domestic U.S. Because when you meet Justin, I just want to put on a birthday hat and, you know, like a bright pink outfit, which I never wear pink, but I would put it on for him because he's so happy, and it's because he's gone through everything in his career and he respects the gift.
Yes, he does not take it for granted, and he's not, totally, like, he knows what a gift is.
Respects the gifts. And then, you know, we have Allison Felix, who's, you know, an incredible athlete who, again, eats, breathes, and sleeps her passion, is one of the fastest women, you know, arguably in the world. I don't know, I love them all. And I'll tell you this about Jennifer Lopez. I have not ever met another woman who grinds and eats, breathes, and sleeps her role as a content creator as she does. When I say gangster, she's as gangster as they come, period.
She gets it done.
She's gangster. She is the boss. They call her boss lady, and she is the boss lady.
I love that. And she's hot as hell.
Hot as hell.
Doing it. You can be it all.
She does that show out in Vegas because I represent Jennifer for her residency business, because she has a wonderful business manager that does her TV and film work. And you watch what she, when I tell you, she is getting it. Every minute her feet are on that stage, and you look at the work ethic that she puts into her craft. And I got to tell you, it's the same thing for Tyler and Brian. You know, I've seen a lot of artists come and go because that's the nature of the business. You have moments and then you don't have them anymore. But Tyler and Brian, they're gangster as well. It's like they'll go do a show and they take their writing bus out because they have their publishing company, Tree Vibes Music. They take the bus out. They take writers out. They will get off, shower, and they're like, let me hear the demos from the writing sessions today. Like, this is no, they get that this is, they're creating an empire.
Yeah.
And so I would hope they would say that I work really hard for them and my staff works really hard for them, because I feel like they deserve that level of service.
I love it so much. Okay, we're going to wrap up. Got a couple more questions, and we're going to hear some of your favorite songs. When did you know this was your calling? When did you know you're walking in your calling?
Probably the moment I realized that I was going to go out on my own. I'm
you
like,
felt it.
I love this so much, and I don't know if anybody, this goes back to being crazy, right? Who at that age, I'm like, I don't know if there's anybody else that's ever, it never even entered my mind to go look for another business management firm and go work somewhere
else.
You
knew you're ready to do it on your own.
I wouldn't say I knew I was ready to do it on my own. It was never a consideration to go work for somebody else. And that's why when I'll flip back to my pet peeve, I know what's in my head, or I say to people, I know what's on the canvas. And the canvas is a beautiful painting where not only the people who work for me get to experience the joy of working in their craft and being more than fairly compensated for it. That's what's on my mind. That's what the canvas is. And then I say to them, I also know what's not on the canvas. And what's not on the canvas is a hospital. I don't want to deal with your drama. I don't want to deal with crap. I want you to come in and I want you to contribute. Who spends hours painting a canvas and then you let somebody come in and flick paint on it? You don't. I'm like, no, no.
No.
Not gonna,
you're going to add to the picture or you're
going
to not.
No hospital in it. You're either going to contribute and it be beautiful, because if you're a head tripper, you need to go someplace else. Can't be with me.
I love that. That's why you're so effective.
I don't know if I'm the
yes, Lou.
Just the right amount of crazy.
It's perfect. Okay, we're going to wrap up.
Yeah.
Leave your light. Leave some inspiration. How you would like to inspire people. Or how you have been inspired.
My inspiration would be do something that's not just a job. Do something that's not just a job. Because, you know, I think everybody asks themselves this silly question at one point in time. If I won the lottery, would I go to work tomorrow? And I can honestly tell you that if I won the lottery, I'd go to work tomorrow. Like, and I don't know that there's a lot of people that would still do that.
You love it.
You love it. You love what, and I'm not done. I don't know what done is, but I know I'm not done, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Lou, gosh, you're like so inspirational.
No.
So now we're going to play
music.
We're gonna
okay.
Play. We're going to play a couple songs that have greatly impacted you and your life.
That's right.
So tell me, okay, tell me about this first one.
The first one is Dream On. Is that right?
First,
Aerosmith. Okay. So Steven Tyler, who I adore as a human, Dream On to me. I don't think anybody, especially anybody who's my age, but even young people, don't know Dream On. It's like Dream On, Dream On, dream yourself a dream come true. And I think that's just so been part of my life. Dream yourself a dream come true.
It's what does that mean to you?
Well, I think TriStar's Dream Yourself a Dream Come True. It's like people walk in my office and go, oh my gosh, look what you built. I never even think about it that way. I'm like, I'm just doing me.
You're just doing what's on your
dream
canvas.
Dream yourself a dream come true. I want to dream myself staff to come true. It's like, because when you hire drivers, that's amazing. But anyway, I love this song. I love Steven. Steven's the sole writer on Dream On. I don't know if a lot of people know that. And he literally wrote the song in 20 minutes. So when Steven became a client of mine, I don't think there was, you know, any greater joy for me than to sign somebody who had so greatly impacted my life with music. Because I'm a rock girl. I grew up during Long Live Rock, you know.
I love it. Okay, we're going to hear a little bit.
Teal Audio's newest speaker line, the Aurora Lifestream speakers, are designed to fit seamlessly into your home with its wide range of connectivity. To check out the latest speaker line, go to tealaudio.com.
Change too a little bit, because like sometimes that sounds different to me than some of his other recordings. Does it to you?
No, I mean I just love him. He could read his cereal box and I'd be down with it, you know. Mike Will Made It is arguably one of the greatest producers right now of our day, and he came to the Aerosmith show and we were standing side stage talking, and he looked at me and he goes, look at that. You know, because all the way up, and he said, I would hope someday at this point in time, I could still put somebody in a seat all the way up there. He's like, he's amazing. And I think that's the beauty of who Steven Tyler is. Because let me tell you something, you buy a ticket for a show to see Steven, and you're getting every dollar of it, every dollar of it.
You surround yourself with people who give everything of themselves.
Yeah, I try to, really hard.
It probably keeps all the passion up with everything. Because if anyone's not passionate, the flame doesn't burn as bright. So everyone in your tribe is on fire.
Yeah, and if they're not, then they really have to go, you know. That's hard. And that's the hard thing, because turnover is money, you know. Time and training is money.
Okay, tell me about this next song.
Okay, so the next song is Real Love. So this is full circle for me, Real Love, because... when I first got into business management, as I said earlier, Mary J was in the studio doing What's the 411. So she was signed in 1989 by Andre Harrell. She was basically doing vocals for him. And then What's the 411 came out. And Real Love to me just, I remember hearing Real Love for the first time. It's like I'm searching for a real love, you know, someone to set my heart free. And so being a young girl at that time, you just thought, Mary was like, when she first came on the scene, there had never really been anybody like Mary who had that edge to her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean like she just owned. If you meet Mary today, just look at the images of her. Like she walks in a room and you know that.
She's a boss. Royal,
yeah, she's R&B royalty has just walked in the room. And so Mary is a client of TriStar, and so that's all come full circle for me to have worked on Uptown Records when she was signed, her being in the studio doing What's the 411 at that time, and now here, this is going to be the 25th anniversary of What's the 411 this summer, and that she's still a boss. Her new record's coming out, Strength of a Woman, her new album, and when I tell you, we sat in Jim Henson's studio, one of his studios over there, and listened to the new record, and she's just boss-ass brilliant. I think that needs to be a new hashtag. Yeah,
boss.
Ass brilliant. Not hashtag girl boss, just
girl boss.
Boss. Yep.
Killing it. Okay, here we go. What an inspired life you live. Seriously, you're changing the world for all of these superstars, for all of these people, for your staff that you work with. Like, the precedent that you set is just excellence, and you're so inspired and so passionate. It's an honor to work with you and know you and get to interview you today.
Thank you for letting me serve you and Michael. Oh, I love you.
Love you so much.
Love you more.
Thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
Caroline. She's the queen of talking. Hey, what's on your mind?
How amazing was that episode with Lou? She's incredible. I just love her and admire her so much. You guys, next week I'm fired up. I have the Sisterhood Band joining me. This is two fabulous females, Alyssa Bonagura and Ruby Stewart, and together they make the Sisterhood, and they are so incredible. Ruby is rock and roll royalty. Her dad is Rod Stewart. And Alyssa also grew up in a traveling band, living on the road with her parents. Together, they have this sound that I've never heard before. Their energy is electric. They're beautiful. They're incredible. They're like Stevie Nicks, magic, all sorts of stuff, meets country music. Absolutely one of the best interviews ever. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes, and then also go to my website, carolinehobby.com, and click watch, because all of these episodes are now on video also. So you can watch them or listen to them, whatever suits you best. So tune in next week for the Sisterhood.